بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Today we commence with a new topic here, the branches of Iman. We completed yesterday the list of all the things which constitute major sins. Today we do the branches of Iman. In the ahadith we come to know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are over 70 branches of Iman. Here Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali has also enumerated 72 branches of Iman. Number one, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe that anything besides Allah ta'ala is created. To believe in the angels. To believe in the revealed scriptures, all the heavenly scriptures which were revealed. To believe in all of them that they were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe in taqdeer, which is predestination, that everything what happens has already been predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it occurred. To believe in qiyamah, the day of judgment. To love Allah ta'ala. To love or hate others for the sake of Allah ta'ala. To love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for no ulterior motive, and to hold the highest esteem for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Reciting durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is included in esteem for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To do actions solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. This includes avoiding show and hypocrisy. To fear Allah Ta'ala. To hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy. To continue repenting over one's sins. To remain thankful to Allah Ta'ala for His bounties. To fulfill one's promises. We've did 17 today. These are all the branches of Iman. Inshallah we will continue. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 26th para was recited. The first surah of the 26th para is Suratul Ahqaf. Ahqaf means long curved sand dunes. The place where the nation of Ad, where they resided, it was in a valley in which there were all these sand dunes. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning their Nabi Hud alayhi salam, he warned his nation in Ahqaf. So because of that, the surah also has been given its name. The surah is a Makki surah, and as mentioned over and over again, the main subject matter in practically all the Makki surahs is regarding the fundamentals of deen, that is, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the aqidah concerning the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with Hameen, the meaning of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows. And then Allah ta'ala declares that this kitab, the Quran Majeed, is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is almighty and all wise. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions that we have created the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them for a purpose. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. Allah ta'ala didn't just create it without any purpose and without any wisdom. And that purpose is that we reflect in these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through recognition we can acquire by pondering over the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this true recognition is vital for true and sincere worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person cannot truly and sincerely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he doesn't acquire the true recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, and our purpose of creation in this dunya is also so that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this worshipping will be if true recognition is acquired. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the futility and the foolishness of these people who worship idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person who calls out to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these idols, those idols who can't respond to their call till the day of Qiyamah, and who are also completely unaware
of those who are worshipping them and calling out towards them. So Allah Ta'ala says, who can be more astray than the person who worships such objects which they have carved and shaped with their own hands, which are completely inanimate, which cannot hear, which cannot respond to anything. What, it is so illogical and so foolish and futile to go and to steep to the level of going to worship them and regard and attribute divinity to them and regard them to be deities. How foolish and futile this is. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the arrogance and the pride of the kuffar, particularly the idol worshippers of Makkatul Mukarrama. The surah is a Makki surah. That these people, the kuffar, they tell the believers, لَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ, that if there was any good in this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is being propagated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they used to tell them, مَا سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ, that they, in other words, you all would not have beat us in accepting this deen of Islam if it was any good in there. In other words, they regarded because they did not accept. Therefore, those that accepted, they regarded their decision to be foolish. This was because of their pride and obstinacy. Such an evil pride is, and haughtiness and arrogance is, that it actually perverts human intelligence to the level where a person he cannot think properly also. And what he regards his own decisions and his own actions and ways to be the criterion to determine what is right from wrong and what is good from evil. This is the ill effects of pride and haughtiness. And this is what this is the type of pride which these kuffar were involved in. And that is why they mention such words. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the importance of being treating one's parents kindly. Allah ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We gave the emphatic command to insan that they must be kind to their parents. Kindness to parents includes serving them, being obedient to them, to honor and to revere them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the great difficulties which the parents, particularly the mother, undergoes in bearing their child. That Allah ta'ala says the mother, she bore the child with great difficulty, and she delivered the child also with great difficulty. And this period of bearing the child and weaning the child after breastfeeding is 30 months. 30 months, because the time form, according to the majority of the ulama, the maximum time for breastfeeding is 24 months. And the minimum period of pregnancy through which a child can survive after being born is 6 months. And 24 plus 6 will give you 30 months, 2.5 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning that person who is obedient to his parents, who is a mu'min, that when he reaches his age of strength, that is physical maturity, and then he reaches the age of 40, Allah Ta'ala says, which is the age of mental maturity, then he makes the dua which is coming in front. So the age of 40 is that period, is that age which is the age of mental maturity. It is for this reason that even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted nabuwat at the age of 40. Because by the time a person reaches the age of 40, he has passed that age of youth where a person is normally deceived by his passions and ambitions, and he hasn't as yet reached the age of old age, which is associated with weaknesses and handicaps. So that is that age which we call the age of mental maturity. Then he makes the dua, O Allah Ta'ala, grant me the tawfiq, the ability that I remain grateful for the ni'mats which you have blessed me with, and also my parents, and grant me the ability to do good deeds which are pleasing to you. And O Allah Ta'ala, correct for me my progeny, make them pious and steadfast on Iman. I repent towards you, and I am from those who submit. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them, Allah Ta'ala accepts their good deeds, forgives their mistakes and sins, and they are from the dwellers of Jannah. It is a promise of truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In contrast, Allah Ta'ala gives the example of that person who is disobedient to his parents, who doesn't accept Iman despite his parents being mu'min, and despite them advising him to concerning what is the truth, but he shows no regard to them. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning him, he tells his parents, uff, any such word which is offensive to his parents. And he tells them, are you warning me that I will be raised up after death? whereas so many generations have passed before me, I haven't seen a single person coming out of his grave back to life. And in this way he refuses to accept the message of Haqq. The parents, yastaghithanillah, they seek Allah Ta'ala's assistance in this matter, and they warn this person that woe unto you, Amin, bring Iman. Verily the promise of Allah is truth, that after death, there is life after death and you will be resurrected. But this person insists on his wrong beliefs, and he says that ma hadha illa asatirul awwaleen. Whatever you are telling me is just the tales of the old folk, from the people of before. There's no reality in whatever you are saying. Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلِ. These are the people concerning whom the decree of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has been passed, that these are the people who will be afflicted with punishment by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the nation of Ad. Despite them being so, Allah Ta'ala granted them so many bounties, physical strength also they had, and they were huge in stature also. But they refused to mend their ways. They remained adamant on their idol worshipping, and they did not want to give it up despite being reminded over and over. The way the punishment afflicted them, Allah Ta'ala afflicted them with a very severe heat wave. Such a severe heat wave that they couldn't bear it anymore. And they became very restless and uncomfortable. And suddenly they see a cloud coming from a distance towards the valleys in which they resided. And they became happy. هَذَا عَارِدٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. That this is a cloud which will shower us with rain, and it will put an end to this heat wave. Allah Ta'ala says, nay, bal huwa ma sta'jaltum bi. It is that same thing which you are in a hurry to see. Previously it was mentioned that they told Hud alayhi salam, their Nabi, that whatever you are promising us, if we don't accept Iman, that we will be punished. Bring it, we want to see it. Allah Ta'ala says, this is that same thing. Rihun fiha adabun aleem. When they seen that cloud, they thought it will be a cloud to give them some coolness, and they gathered all underneath that cloud, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then sent such a violent wind, which despite the great huge sizes, lifted them like small dust particles, and flung them and crushed them onto the ground, and they then lay on the ground like hollow trunks of the date palm. Like that, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions concerning a group of the jinnat that who heard the recitation of the Qur'an al-Majeed when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting the Qur'an al-Majeed in Salat. This group immediately recognized it, that this is revelation from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They listened attentively, they brought Iman, and they returned back to their nations, the other jinnat, as warners. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions this year, the ulama explain, to indicate to these mushrikeen and polytheists that these jinnat, the jinn, are much more haughty and rebellious than men. And in intellect also they are much more deficient compared to men. But even their hearts melted and softened when they heard the Quran al-Majeed. O people of Makkah, you are not the jinnat, you are human beings. And yet the Quran al-Majeed, despite it being recited to you over and over, your hearts are not getting softened, and you don't want to accept the message of Haqq. Further, Allah Ta'ala then towards the end of the surah consoles Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that these people who refuse to accept your message, who are mocking and taunting you and persecuting you, fasbir, exercise patience. Just as the previous Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam who were resolute, they exercised patience, you also do the same. And don't be in a hurry concerning them that punishment must come to them. Punishment will come on its time as according to Allah Ta'ala's will and wisdom. And when it comes, لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِّن نَهَارٍ. Then they will not even think that they even stayed for a moment of a single day in this world. This is how they will feel when their punishment come, which will completely destroy them. The next surah is Surah Muhammad. It is a Madani surah revealed after Hijrat, and the main subject matter in the surah concerns jihad, the encouragement to participate in jihad, and also some associated rules concerning jihad. Allah Ta'ala in the first two verses mentions the difference between the two groups of people. One is those that are of Iman and those of Kufr. Those of Kufr, they follow Batil, and those of Iman, they follow Haqq. So when there is that conflict between haqq and batil, ultimately that conflict will carry on as time progresses. And that is now one of the reasons why jihad has been instituted, those that are obstacles in the progress of Islam, and so that the word of Allah Ta'ala must reign supreme, they have to be cut off, like that limb of the body which has turned gangrene, and it has to be amputated, or else the rest of the body will be affected. So that is now the wisdom behind the institution of jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions some rules and regulations concerning the prisoners of war, that how, what is the ruling concerning them, what must they be executed, or must they be kept in bondage, or can we free them without ransom, or with ransom. All those guidelines have been given. Allah Ta'ala then mentions another reason why jihad has been instituted in Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَنْ تَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. If Allah Ta'ala willed, Allah Ta'ala could have exacted revenge against these kuffar himself by, for example, afflicting them with some natural calamity and disaster, and like that Allah could have destroyed them. There was no need to give the order to fight them in jihad. But yet Allah Ta'ala says, we instituted this injunction of jihad, وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ, to test some of you by the means of others. The mu'mineen are tested that who is prepared to sacrifice for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the kuffar are also put to a test that through this jihad they must realize the truthfulness of Islam, and who is prepared to accept the supremacy of Islam and accept Islam. So this is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or else Allah ta'ala, there was no need to even to prescribe this institution of jihad. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the resentment of the hypocrites concerning participating in jihad. These hypocrites, concerning them Allah ta'ala says, رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, that these people in whose hearts there is a disease of hypocrisy. You will see when the ayahs of jihad are revealed, then they will look at you like a person who is overtaken by the ghashi, the swoon of death. A person who is close to death, how he loses his senses, and he doesn't know what is happening around him. These people also, they as if they become senseless because of the fear of going out for jihad. They are not prepared to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not prepared to sacrifice their lives. Allah ta'ala says it was more appropriate for them to be obedient and speak good words. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even warns them that, do these people who have in their hearts hypocrisy, do they think that we will never expose their malice and enmity in their hearts? In other words, at any time Allah ta'ala says we can expose their nifaq and put them into humiliation. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if we so will, we can show you, in other words, identify these hypocrites for you, so that you can recognize them through their appearances. And if we don't identify them also to you, then to O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will recognize them through their way of speech. Fi lahni al-qawl, their manner of expression and the way they speak, you will know that there is hypocrisy in their hearts, and they don't want to participate in jihad for fear of their lives. They don't want to sacrifice. Allah Ta'ala again emphasizes, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will definitely test you, O mu'mineen, till we know who are the true mujahideen from amongst you, who are prepared to sacrifice, and who are those who persevere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the object why jihad has been made for us. The next, end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says that, لَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, that don't invalidate and don't nullify your actions. This verse, from here, our fuqaha, the jurists of the Hanafi fiqh, have extracted a mas'ala, that an action, once you start it, you must complete it. Even though it was optional, it is an optional act, whether it's salat, whether it's sawm or whatever. Before starting it, if it is optional, well and good. If you don't do it, no problem. If you do it, there is great reward. But if you have to nullify it, or it gets nullified and broken in any way, then you have to keep the qaza. Because Allah Ta'ala says, don't nullify your actions. And here you are nullifying it by breaking it, then you have to keep the qaza, although initially it was optional and it was nafal. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning telling the mu'mineen, فَلَا تَهِنُوا, don't lose courage. وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى السَّلْمِ, and don't call towards peace. Thus, if the object of calling towards peace is to evade evade jihad, whereas elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا, that if the kuffar incline towards peace, then there's no problem in making a peace treaty with them. But if the objective is to evade the responsibility of making jihad, Allah Ta'ala says, don't do that. Allah Ta'ala gives clear tidings. If you remain firm in your jihad, أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you will remain dominant at all times. Today, even if we see that the kuffar seem to be dominant over the mu'mineen, but ulama explained that in the intellectual field, when it comes to the proofs concerning the haqqaniyat and truthfulness of Islam, Islam will definitely be dominant at all times. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah reminds the mu'mineen that if you turn away from the injunctions of deen, particularly jihad, then don't think so you are going to harm Allah Ta'ala in the least, but Allah Ta'ala will change you and replace you with another nation who will not be like you, who are not being obedient and faithful in fulfilling the injunctions of Sharia. So Allah Ta'ala can replace you with another nation at any time. The next surah is Surah Al-Fath. It's also a Madani surah. Fath means victory. This has been brought after Surah Muhammad, referring to the fact that those who now sincerely fulfill this injunction of jihad, Allah Ta'ala has promised victory. The circumstances of the revelation of the many of the verses of the surah is that in the 6th year of Hijri, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen a dream that he is performing Umrah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He related the dream to the Sahaba, who were overjoyed because the dream of a Nabi is definitely true. It can never be false. So they all prepared and they went out with the intention of Umrah. 14 or 1500 Sahaba radiallahu anhum accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they came close to Makkah, the people of Makkah, they refused Muslims entry and they said that under no circumstances will we allow you to come here. The Muslims explained to them, we have not come to fight and we have just come to perform our Umrah and then we are going back. But they remain adamant. Uthman radiallahu anhu was sent as an envoy to negotiate, and the rumor spread that he has been killed by the kuffar. On that, the mu'mineen who were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the pledge of allegiance under a tree. Allah Ta'ala mentions this, that they will now fight till the end and avenge the death of also Uthman radiallahu anhu. Nabi Allah Ta'ala mentions and declares that Allah Ta'ala is happy with them. Anyway, this rumor proved to be false, and eventually then the negotiation started between the Muslims and the Kuffar of Makkah, and eventually it resulted in the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah being signed in the 6th year of Hijri. Many of the conditions on this peace treaty were biased against the Muslims. With the result that many Sahaba, they had their reservations, that why are we accepting such conditions which are completely against us and outwardly in favor of the kuffar. Even Umar radiallahu anhu expressed his reservations concerning this, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signed the peace treaty, and on return, while coming back, and that year they couldn't perform the Umrah, and according to the conditions, they were to come again next year. While returning, these verses were revealed, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا, that we have granted you a victory, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a clear victory. Many Sahaba were astonished, what victory is this? We are returning back unsuccessful from our even performing Umrah, and the conditions are also of the peace treaty against us. What victory? But Allah Ta'ala declares it a victory, and later on people realize it was a victory, because it was the stepping stone for the huge progress for Islam and eventually it led to the conquest of Makkah in the 8th year of Hijri. Although the peace treaty was signed for 10 years, but within hardly 2 years, the mushrikeen already went against it. But in that period, people could get a close look at Islam and they realized the haqqaniyat and truthfulness and beauty of Islam and the amount of people that accepted Islam just in that 2-year period between the 6th and the 8th year. Never before in the Islam, in the history of Islam, had so many people accepted Islam. And eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, in the 8th year of Hijri, marched onto Mecca with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Mecca was conquered. And at that time the number of the Muslims accompanying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 10,000. The whole incident is being mentioned here in 2 or 3 rukus. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the surah, then mentions concerning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that who these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what great qualities they had. They were stern against the kuffar, but very compassionate and kind between themselves. Allah Ta'ala says, you will see them always in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, prostrating, bowing down in ruku and sajda, seeking the fadl and grace of Allah Ta'ala and His happiness. And you will recognize them by just their faces, because of the effects of sajda and ibadat, their faces being illuminated, and the signs of humbleness and humility on them. This is the example of the Sahaba mentioned in the Torah. So besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also being mentioned in the Torah and the Injil, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's qualities were also mentioned. In the Injil, Allah Ta'ala says, the Sahaba have been described as that plant and that farm which sprouts its shoots and strengthens it, and they become thick and stand on their own stem. A plant, when it comes out, it is weak, but it needs some support till it becomes thick and it can stand on its own stem. And then it is pleasing to the farmer. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the condition of the Sahaba. Initially they were weak, few in number, but slowly, slowly Allah Ta'ala strengthened them to a point where no power could challenge them, and they overcame all the enemies of Islam at that time. لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, to install this hatred within the kuffar, that how they couldn't stand to see how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in a matter of a few years, how they flourished, and from their very weak beginnings, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them a strength and a force. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Allah Ta'ala has promised those who brought iman and did good actions from them, the Sahaba, maghfirat, forgiveness, and immense reward. Very, very important to have the correct aqidah concerning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Definitely they were not ma'asum like the Anbiya. They made their mistakes, but each and every one of them, they had Allah Ta'ala granted them the tawfiq to make istighfar and tawbah within their lives, and each one of them died in a condition that Allah Ta'ala was pleased with them, with no exception whatsoever. Our aqidah, it is not permissible to revile, to speak ill of them, to criticize them, even a single sahabi, no matter what mistakes they might have made. And definitely there were mistakes that were committed, but when Allah Ta'ala declares that all of them, there is maghfirat and ajri azim, so who are we who can even speak anything against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? According to the hadith, they are our guiding stars, and we cannot speak anything against that great respect and honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. The next surah is Suratul Hujurat, a Madani surah. Very important guidelines concerning etiquettes, adab, social etiquettes, as well as what the rights of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and etiquettes to be observed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been mentioned here. 3 things concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been mentioned, that don't step forward in front of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, don't comment, don't give your decision, don't give your opinion before the orders of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. In other words, show that respect, that you don't be so forward when it comes to now giving your opinion, etc., in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 2, don't raise your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number 3, that don't call one another, don't speak to one another in such loud, in a loud way, in front of and in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the adab. There was certain incidents because of which these verses were revealed, but the message is general, and the ulama explained, the mufassirin explained, that these very same adab has to be observed with one's spiritual guide and sheikh also, that and in front of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed leadership in of deen, the ulama, etc., that these are the adab to be observed in front of them also. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention some social and communal etiquettes, that if news reaches you first verify, then act. If you don't do so, then and you do something, later on you will regret your action. That why did I not first verify? So the message here is that don't lend your ears to rumors and gossip. These are things most of the time, they are unfounded. First make sure, verify, and then if something has to be done and action has to be taken, then only do it. Then guidelines have been given concerning those groups amongst the Muslimin who are fighting and disputing with one another. How to reconcile them. Those guidelines are also mentioned here. Because the mu'minun, Allah Ta'ala says, are ikhwatun. They are brothers with one another. Therefore, any dispute amongst them, and because to stay in a community will definitely, inevitably, disputes will arise. Then how these must be sorted out, and they must be reconciled. That has been mentioned here. Then further, some guidelines have been given upon which the sound social structure depends on. That the environment, the community we live, mustn't be an environment of evil and dispute and fighting and arguing. Allah Ta'ala says, don't mock others. Perhaps he's better than you. The person who mocks, normally he looks down upon the person he is mocking, makes fun and pokes fun at him. No, he might be better than you. Don't look for faults of others. Allah Ta'ala says, look at the words, anfusakum. Don't look for the faults of yourselves. In other words, looking for the faults of others is actually your own faults, because you are one community. And then Allah Ta'ala says, don't call others by derogatory titles and names which offend them. And then Allah Ta'ala says, avoid excessive suspicion. One means unfounded suspicion. Make sure that you don't fall victim to just unnecessarily get involved in suspicion. In the hadith it has been mentioned that suspicion is the worst of lies. Then Allah, and this gives rise to many other evils. Backbiting, slandering are all the effects of what? Of unfounded suspicion. Then Allah Ta'ala said, don't spy on one another. Then don't have evil thoughts for one another. And don't backbite, because it is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Allah Ta'ala reminds us that all of you, you are from one father and mother. And there's different tribes and nationalities which you are, which you have been divided into, is so that you can recognize one another. This is not the criterion for superiority. Race, creed, nationality, language, etc. are not the basis of superiority. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنْ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most honored amongst you by Allah Ta'ala is the one who is the most Allah fearing, who has the quality of taqwa. That is the criterion for honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, Surah Qaf, is a Makki surah. In this surah, Allah Ta'ala also mentioned the fundamentals of deen. Allah Ta'ala mentions His great creations, and then Allah Ta'ala reminds man that we have created you, and we know the whispers in your heart, and we are closer to you, even more closer than your jugular vein. In other words, we know you better than you know yourself, and we know everything concerning you. Allah Ta'ala explains that the Kiraman Katibin are ever ready to record every action and word which a person speaks. No word goes without being recorded. No action goes without being recorded. Allah Ta'ala mentions then the verses where the transgressors will be flung, the order will be given to fling them into Jahannam. And when that Jahannam, all the people will be thrown in there. Allah Ta'ala will address Jahannam saying, are you full now? And Jahannam says, are there any more to come? Which shows the vastness of Jahannam. The ulama of balaghat and eloquence of speech have mentioned there wasn't a more better way of explaining the vastness of something, as Allah Ta'ala has explained this here. And then the people of taqwa and jannat are mentioned, that they will enter into jannat, and it is on that day that Allah Ta'ala says, we will grant them whatever they will desire, and an extra thing from our side. Ulama explained that extra is that great ni'mat and bounty, the greatest bounty of jannat, that is the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other bounty can be superior than that bounty. These are the verses which we heard last night, where so much emotion, our Qadi Sahib read. And why? Because he was pondering over the meaning, and he was overcome with emotion. Some of the satis were asking, why was the Imam Sahib so emotional? And these were the reasons that the Jannat and Jahannam have been described. And in the last surah Wadhariyat, inshallah we will do that tomorrow, because part of it goes on to into the 27th para, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قال عبد لا إله إلا الله قط مخلصا إلا فتحت له أبواب السماء حتى يفضي إلى العرش ما اجتنب الكبائر رواه الترمذي. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that no slave recites La ilaha illallah with sincerity except that the doors of the heavens are flung open for it until it reaches the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided he abstains from major sins. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that no slave recites La ilaha illallah with sincerity except that the doors of the heavens are flung open for it until it reaches the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided he abstains from major sins. This has been narrated by Tirmidhi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہوں تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدھر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہوں ایک خبردار تیرا لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ إلا الله لا إله 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 إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الہی عطا ہو ذرہ درد دل کہ مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کوئی مجھے
مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں, وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا, یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں, عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت, میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں, ہے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر, اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں, اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں, میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں, لا الہ الا اللہ, 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں, تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں, تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں, تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں, اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ, لا الہ الا اللہ, 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے, اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ, اللہ 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 اللہ, اپنے ملنے کا پتا کوئی نشان, تو بتا دے مجھ کو اے رب جہاں, اللہ 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 اللہ, مٹا دے اپنی ہستی کو, چھوڑ دے ساری مستی کو, بستی بستی کہتا جا, اللہ 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 اللہ, وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب, الله 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 الله, كل من عليها فان, ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام, الله الله.